Mark chapter 3 and verses 29 to 30. Sin against the Spirit. Mark 3, 29 to 30. Now let me just give you a health warning. I don't do these discourses because I'm Lord Oracle. I know it all and my word is the last word and so on. And I pontificate on it. I'm just offering you my thoughts on Mark's gospel. And there's much I don't know. And I'm also conscious, particularly in this discourse, that this is not an academic subject. None of it is, in fact, is it? But I know this one especially for perhaps some of you listening to me now. This is not an academic subject. Maybe you are deeply worried about this. And I'm very conscious that what I say must do you good and not be any harm to you. Remember, Jesus has made this glorious gospel promise. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. Now, don't forget that. Don't forget that. Hold on to it. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. Now, it's not said there, but you know from the rest of the New Testament, indeed from the Old Testament too, you know that those sins are not forgiven just by God's decree. Men have to repent and believe and trust Christ. And if they receive Christ as Savior and Lord, trust his merits, trust his person and his works, then all manner of sins, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. So what we're going to see now in this verse, or these two verses, is not going to contradict that. But there is a word but here, and it's a very powerful word, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he has an evil spirit. So this sin must be a very special sin. It must, if you like, trump the other, in the sense that it must be the effective barrier between Christ and his glorious ministry and his glorious person and work and the salvation of the sinner. Why will this sin not be forgiven? Is it because Christ cannot forgive? No. Verse 28. Is it because the blood is not sufficient? No. Verse 28. Is it because the merits of Christ are not powerful enough? No. Because of verse 28. Because of many passages of the New Testament. No. The fault does not lie, the barrier does not lie in Christ. There must be another reason. Let's try and take some cases. How about Judas? Why was Judas damned? Well, you say he betrayed Christ. He denied Christ. He was a hypocrite with Christ. He betrayed him. No, that's not why he was damned. He was damned because he wouldn't repent of his sins. If he had called upon Christ for mercy, I have no hesitation, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The damning sin for Judas was that he would not, he could not, he could not, he would not repent. And we know that without the Spirit of Christ, there is no regeneration. There is no repentance. There is no saving faith. Oh, men can naturally believe, naturally repent about things. Of course they can. And they can know the facts of the Bible. But to have a spiritual awakening requires the work of God's Spirit. Without the Spirit, if a man does not have the Spirit, he is none of his. Romans 8, 1 Corinthians 12, and so on. You get these passages. So whatever this sin is, it involves not having the Spirit, having no power of the Spirit within the life. And I see John 5, verse 40, you will not come to me. Again, the Spirit is necessary to give me the will. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Matthew 23, verse 37, how often I would have gathered you, but you were not willing, not willing. Take Esau. He wanted the blessing. Hebrews 12, 16 to 17. He sought the blessing. He wanted the blessing. But he could never change his mind. He could never repent. What does that mean? He wanted to be saved, but couldn't be saved. No, he wanted the soup. He wanted material benefits, and he could never come back to the first principles of wanting the inheritance as the firstborn. He didn't want that. In other words, he's a case of a man who wants external blessings, material benefits. When he saw Jacob coming again, he was well off. He said, it's all right, my brother, I got all I want. He was interested in the material. He does not have the spirit, you see. That's what Hebrews 12, 16 to 17 means. These people are given over because they don't have the spirit, Romans 1, 28. And it's an eternal sin. It can never be expunged. But it's particularly without the spirit. There is no repentance. There is no faith. There is no trust. They're in that position where they don't have a saving desire for Christ. So this is the point I want to make to you. Now, these are just my thoughts, but this is what I want to say to you. Do you have any desire to be saved? Do you want to be saved, my friend? Well, I would say to you, if you want to be saved, then you cannot have committed the sin. Who gave you the desire to be saved? Who taught you that you were a sinner? Who made you feel that you wanted to know Christ and have Christ? Do you long to be with Christ? Do you long to have Christ as your Savior? If I could say to you, you can definitely never have him, would that grieve you? If it does, then you are not in this position. You want him, love him, trust him, believe him, rely upon him. Not simply believe the facts, but you trust him, then he is yours. And come. Now, I can see many scriptures, Hebrews 3 and 4, Hebrews 10, Hebrews 12, and so on, Hebrews 6. What are these scriptures warning me about? Don't delay. Don't harden yourself. I see many scriptures which say, look now, seek the Lord while he may be found. Don't delay, call now. Now is the day of salvation. I'm going to close with Charles Wesley's hymn. This is the message this is the point I want to bring over to you, my friend. Don't you be burdening yourself about whether I've sinned this or not. Trust Christ and call upon him, and all will be well. Whatever sins you've committed, they will be forgiven you. He said this because they said he has an evil spirit. They did not want to believe. They would not want to believe. If they had wanted to believe, they would have been saved if they wanted him. Well, here's Charles Wesley. I'm just going to change the last line to bring it in to proper doctrinal form. Come, sinners, to the gospel feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guest. You need not one be left behind, for God hath bidden all mankind. Sent by my Lord, on you I call. The invitation is to all. Come, all the world, come, sinner thou. All things in Christ are ready now. Come, all ye souls by sin oppressed, ye restless wanderers after rest. Are you one of those, my friend? Ye poor and maimed and halt and blind, in Christ a hearty welcome find. That's the message of the gospel. His love is mighty to compel. His conquering love consent to feel. Do you want that consent, my friend? Have you got that consent? Yield to his love's resistless power and fight against your God no more. Oh, hear that. See him set forth before your eyes, that precious bleeding sacrifice. His offered benefits embrace and freely now be saved by grace. This is the time, no more delay, come on, that's the word. This is the Lord's accepted day, come in this moment at his call, as now it is, addressed to all. And it's addressed to you, my friend, with all the assurance of the gospel. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved, now.